You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So we're going to go into the Kathleen Quinlivan interview, associate professor that is at University of Canterbury, about different types of things that can be included in sexuality education, gender politics, and sexual harassment. So I started by asking how she thought the Me Too generation and movement has changed the framing of sex education in New Zealand, and what slash who the term Me Too generation actually refers to.
Beginning to talk about gender and sexual based violence that happens in society in a range of different ways, and raising people's awareness of those issues and drawing attention to how they affect people in their lives.
Right.
So what I'm talking about, I suppose, is I'm talking about the young people that are growing up in an era where these things are being called into question.
So how do you think that this kind of movement has changed the framing of sex education worldwide and in New Zealand?
Well, I think one of the things that it's drawn attention to is the importance of engaging with issues such as sex and gender politics and looking at sexual violence and sexual harassment, and actually that involves actually engaging with gender issues. And so what that's really talking about is that it's talking about gendered and sexual violence that occurs within relationships, which we have an incredibly high prevalence of in New Zealand, one of the highest in the world. And it also involves violence that's against trans and intersex people in society. So I think those are some of the ways in which those issues have risen to prominence, and ways of sort of pushing those under the carpet are no longer kind of acceptable to do. And I think what this means is that this is a different terrain for engaging with what sexuality and relationships education means for young people.
You said that in the release as well. Navigating contemporary gender issues, as you've just mentioned as well, is complicated for young people, and our sexuality education isn't keeping up. Why do you think this is?
Yeah, there's a range of very complex reasons for that, but I'm just going to dwell on a couple of them that really need attention at the moment, I think. I think it's important to understand that for the last 10 years, there's been a total lack of support from the Ministry of Education to support professional development for teachers of sexuality and relationships education. So that's a problem, a really, really big problem. So it's very, very difficult for teachers to get up to speed with these issues if the resourcing isn't put into preparing them how to do that, right? So another example of that might be that in 2015, a new set of guidelines was put out to actually engage with some of these issues, but there was no professional development to support that, those new guidelines. They're not compulsory to implement in school. In addition to that, another issue is that the government has agreed to put $18 million through ACC into short-term funded programs such as Mates and Dates, which aren't integrated into school sexuality education programs at all, and which the evaluations show are a very, very limited success in engaging with these issues. So we have some big problems to address in this country in relation to how we educate young people in terms of sexuality and gender. And then that's without even getting into the issues of the fact that most sexuality education actually now is taking place outside school because of the rise of social media and the internet. And it's really important to work with young people to critically engage with some of the representations that are occurring in those spaces, not seeing them as all necessarily bad, but important to be able to understand and critically engage with.
Is there anything that you think young people can be doing on their ends to enhance their own sexual education?
Yeah, I do. I mean, one of the areas that I research and that I think is really, really rich and productive is actually being able to document the rich and diverse ways in which a wide range of different kinds of young people are actually engaging with their social worlds and transforming them. And in the research that I've done over the last 6 years with students, the ways that they are trying to get to grips with building relationships in a wide range of different kinds of ways is truly impressive. So, and I don't think that young people get enough credit for that, actually. And it isn't until you start talking to them about the diverse range of different kinds of ways in which they're doing this that you realise that so little of that actually gets into a classroom, because there's so much fear and panic around sexuality education that we sort of think as adults we need to have already worked out what they need to do. But in fact, young people themselves need to be given the credit, I suppose, to actually, if you can sort of engage with their own experiences of sexualities and relationships, then that's a really, really fruitful way to go. But often, opening up spaces to do that, my experience as a researcher has shown that it requires a different kind of orientation away from probably what you'd call direct talk. And as you and I probably both know, Oscar, we don't, telling people what to do doesn't exactly do the business in terms of sexuality and relationships education, because it's something that you have to experience, right?
Certainly.
So it's about creating up spaces to be able to value the wide range of ways that young people are already doing extraordinary things to make sense of sexuality and gender relationships in the world, and actually finding ways to work those into more formal educational contexts. And teachers need help to do that work.
Building from that, how can we get teachers and parents to be more comfortable talking about topics like sexual harassment, sexual preferences and identity, and gender politics?
I think the most important thing is building relationships with young people where young people feel free and comfortable enough to be able to talk about these issues with them. And sometimes that doesn't happen so much through direct talk. Sometimes that can happen through things like hanging out together, watching movies together, talking about movies, talking about all these different representations of relationships, and actually having conversations around the ways that sexuality and relationships are actually, in a very broad way, integrated into our daily lives. So it's not just like the big talk, if you know what I mean. It's actually developing enough of a relationship to be able to just go through daily life and respond to what crops up and be able to talk about it.
Do you think that there should be a separate program that discusses issues of social justice and combating discrimination and other social issues? Or do you think it's really important to actually include this in what is often called health education so that people make these connections between both topics?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually. I mean, I think sexuality education is such a broad and diverse thing that it should be in all areas of the curriculum. It crops up all over the place, right? But I think that one of the really interesting things about what that's happening at the moment with all the issues that are surrounding sexual violence and discrimination because of sexuality and gender and all of those sort of things, what they point to is the fact that sexuality and gender and relationships are political issues, right? And actually, to me, that's the thing that young people actually want to talk about the most. They want to talk about sex and gender politics. They want to talk about sexual violence, all of these kind of political issues. So I think that we shouldn't shy away from them. We should be able to engage with them. But often, as I said before, the best way to do that isn't through necessarily direct talk, but through a wide range of representations that are occurring and on digital and social media. Like a really good example of that, actually, is the Netflix sexuality education program. Have you seen that?
I haven't. I'm not subscribed to Netflix. However, I have heard a lot about it from a lot of different people.
Like, I think watching that would be a really good basis. You could develop a fantastic sexuality and relationships education curriculum around that. It would be a really great way for parents to talk to kids. You know, there's just so much in there that's full of amazing stuff. And it's that kind of thing, thinking a little bit outside the square, looking at art, looking at and especially the power of narratives and stories from young people's own experience. They're really, really powerful ways of engaging with these issues that aren't necessarily about adults having already decided what they think young people need to know.
Certainly. There's recently been the announcement of a survey of victims of sexual crime and sexual violence that will be announced in order to gain an idea as to how we can reform the justice system around victims' voice as well. Do you think that education and sexuality education in particular really plays a part in how we can reduce A, these crimes and violences from happening, and B, just create a better awareness of the actual wider effects of these actions?
Yes, I do, because it gets back to the whole issues that are being raised in terms of the issues around Me Too. It points to the fact that a lot of things that happen in relationships around how people understand their gender. And so there's a lot of gendered and sexual violence in our society, and a lot of it comes back to, it's played out through crimes, but actually there's a lot of assumptions around masculinities, femininities, heteronormativity, all of those issues. And I think if there were educational programs that addressed those issues in a very broad, wide range of ways, then it would affect those things, because it's when you're looking at those crimes, you're looking at what is going on behind the scenes, what is the kind of the ways that those people are thinking about sexuality and gender, what's actually going on in there, what are the assumptions sitting behind some of those behaviours and practices, and how can we shift them? And young people want to be involved in those discussions.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.